Hi, this is William Ramsey. Welcome to William Ramsey Investigates. On today's show, I have a show titled Red Heifers in Israel, Old Testament Renewed. And it's about this story about these red heifers that is an important predicate to be the sacrifice of these pure red heifers. A heifer is a female cow that hasn't had a child yet. It's a predicate before the Third Temple. And it's happening in the context of this war in Israel and Netanyahu and the bombing of Iranian consulates in Syria and the slaughter in Gaza, the totally disproportionate destruction of Gaza. And literally they murdered like seven guys serving food, international people. But it's in the context of also the Old Testament. One of the things that Netanyahu said when the October 7th event started, and said it in the Hebrew, right, was that he quoted, I think it was Samuel, where about the Amalekites. Amalekites are there, so you're supposed to go destroy them. So it's this New Testament. There's been statements that October 7th happened because of all the tension on, right, the Dome of the Rock, right? So Jerusalem houses the Dome on the Rock, the Muslim thing. Well, the Third Temple is supposed to go there. Like, that's the rock. So this is a salient issue. It's a biblical issue. It's a world issue. And really, this war that's popped up that involves what's going on in Israel and the tensions between Muslims and Christians and Jews and the Ukraine is really a world war. And people have to recognize that. It may not be at the point of World War One and World War Two yet, but that's how World War One and World War Two started. Like, there was the Sitzkrieg, right, in World War Two. People didn't know what was going on, and then all of a sudden it blew up and 60 million people were dead. So people should have their lamps lit and be watching. And it's also, this is kind of like the Old Testament view of the Jews. This is one aspect of it, right, is to fulfill these kind of burnt offerings. And this is from, I'm going to read from Jewish websites and Jewish information about what they think about this. And then there's Christians. This is a fulfillment of prophecy. The Third Temple and Christian view may not be as positive as maybe Jews view it. And like the Jewish Messiah may not be a positive thing for the Christians. And I mean, if you look at some of these hardcore Ryan, I've mentioned this before, right-wing rabbis, the whole world is full of idolatry, right? So they're all idolaters and they all deserve Old Testament justice, including Christians. So it's important to understand kind of this outlook, this kind of world where the common era was based upon the destruction of the temple, right? Bar Kokhba, 150 AD. And the kind of blaming, so I've listened to some of these rabbis too, like they blame the outside, like all of Europe, for the destruction of the temple. So they still have a gripe. So the temple isn't being built within some kind of historical vacuum. It's that they were destroyed by the outsider. They're going to put it back and then seek vengeance on the outsider. Some of these, that's what some of these rabbis think. And I'm not saying all Jews think this. There's a whole spectrum of Judaism, just like there's spectrums of Christianity, Islam, any really religion anyway. But some of these people think like this. So this you'll see if you're watching this on Rockfin or X or YouTube. You'll see this picture of this red bull. They imported it. They literally imported five red cows from Texas. And it's just all in the news. They're supposed to sacrifice them in April. I heard a date of April 8th, so this is it. I'm reading from the Red Heifer. This is from Jewish Learning, myjewishlearning.com. The red heifer, Parah Adumah in Hebrew, was the cow whose ashes were used in the purification rites for one who had been contaminated through having come into contact with a corpse. The red heifer is discussed in Numbers 19:1 through 22, which is in the Torah portion, Chukat. These verses are also read as the final Torah reading on Shabbat Parah, the Sabbath of the red heifer, which occurs on the last Shabbat of the month of Adar, shortly before Passover. Because only people who were pure could eat from the Passover sacrifice, in ancient times, a public announcement reminded anyone who had become impure to purify themselves before making the Passover pilgrimage to Jerusalem. The Haftarah, Ezekiel 36:16-38, also deals with the issues of being cleansed from contamination. But the impurity in this case symbolizes human sinfulness. But like physical impurity, sins can be overcome. As God says in Ezekiel 36:25, I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from your uncleanness and from all your fetishes, idolatrous practices. And I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit into you. This renewal of self and nation reflects Passover's theme of redemption. Below is a summary of the biblical text concerning the red heifer. And this is read the full text in English and Hebrew here, Numbers 19:1-22. God said to Moses and Aaron, speak to the sons of Israel and find a completely red cow on which there is no blemish and no yoke has ever come. You shall give it to Eleazar, the priest, and he shall take it outside the camp and slaughter it. This cow shall then be made into an offering, and those that participate in the sacrifice shall be unclean until the evening. Remember this everlasting statute, God continues. One who touches the corpse of any human soul becomes unclean for 7 days. If the corpse is in a tent, all that is within the tent are also unclean. There's a purification process involving water for people and their possessions. If one does not purify oneself after a state of uncleanliness, that soul shall be uprooted from Israel. Anything unclean must be made clean and pure before coming in contact with the holy sanctuary. And that's from Parashat Chukat. So that's just kind of a retreading of kind of the biblical basis. And then I'm studying, this is my Jewish learning again. Parashat Chukat summary, God instructs Moses and Aaron regarding the red heifer. Miriam dies. Moses hits a rock to bring forth water rather than speaking to it. Aaron dies. And this is basically the same kind of Numbers 19:1-20:21. But this is, seems to be the predicate for them to, for the modern rabbis to bring on the red heifer, right? So this is from March 31st, 2024, very recent. Explained, what are the red heifer cows doing in Israel? And this guy's inspecting it, this rabbi, it looks like. Israel has imported cows from Texas, believed by some to hold the key to fulfilling ancient biblical prophecy. Reportedly, a massive altar, it's not reported, I'm going to show the massive altar, is being prepared in Jerusalem for a ritual that dates back to the time of Moses, Musa. Steeped in religious significance, the events are capturing worldwide attention. The Temple Institute's efforts to fulfill biblical prophecy has also sparked political tensions in the occupied West Bank. These red heifers, believed necessary for rebuilding the Third Temple of Solomon in Jerusalem, are seen as a provocative symbol by Muslims worldwide, including the Palestinians. However, the proposed location for this temple, the Temple Mount in Jerusalem's Old City, is also home to the Al-Aqsa Mosque and the Dome of the Rock Shrine, two of the holiest sites in Islam. Islamic nations view cow slaughtering and potential temple construction as part of an Israeli occupation, asserting control over Jerusalem and disregarding Palestinian sovereignty. Nearly 33,000, mainly women and children, died in the Gaza genocide starting October 7th, 2023, as Hamas retaliated against Israel's occupational crimes. I've heard it's double that number. According to the Jewish tradition, a perfectly red heifer cow is required for purification before the third temple can be built. The temple's construction is desired by radical Jewish groups awaiting the Messiah. Palestinian faction noticed the red heifer's arrival. In a recent speech marking Gaza's 100th genocide day, Hamas spokesperson accused Jews of bringing red cows, linking them to the ongoing conflict. Yitzhak Mamo from Uvne, Jerusalem, has facilitated the cow transportation from Texas to the West Bank. Red heifers, classified as pets to bypass export regulations, are destined for sacrifice on a massive white altar in Jerusalem. According to the Jewish text, a red heifer is a cow that is entirely red in color without any blemish or markings and never has been used for work. This specific type of cow is required for a ritual purification process described in the Hebrew Bible, the Tanakh. In Jewish tradition, the red heifer sacrifice is detailed in the Old Testament. According to the text, the ashes of a red heifer cow without blemish was sacrificed and its ashes were used in purification rituals of Jews. The ashes were used to cleanse a person from ritual impurity, particularly those who have come in contact with a corpse. The red heifer is a symbol of purity and the restoration of ritual cleanliness in Jewish tradition. The Islamic viewpoint, what do the Muslims believe? The second and longest surah chapter in the Quran, named Al-Baqarah, the cow or heifer, after the heifer that was ordered to be sacrificed as commanded is related in the surah. The incident mentioned in the verse 61 to 71 reads as follows. When Moses said unto his people, lo, Allah, God commandeth you that ye sacrifice a cow, they said, do you make game of us? He answered, Allah forbid that I should be among the foolish. They said, pray for us unto thy Lord that he make clear to us what cow she is. Yellow cow, bright as a color. I don't know what this means, but Christian perspective. Book of Numbers prescribes specific instructions for the sacrifice of the red heifer and use its ashes in purification rituals. The ritual is seen as a foreshadowing of the ultimate purification through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ in Christian theology. Numerous prophecies in the Hebrew Bible, particularly in the books of Ezekiel and Daniel, speak of the rebuilding of the temple and its central role in the end times. The Bible says, speak unto the children. I just repeated that. Many Christians interpret these prophecies allegorically, believing that the third temple symbolizes the spiritual dwelling place of God within believers. So I don't know if anybody wants to debate me on this. Send me an email. You know, I'd be happy to. There's a long thing. I can put this in there. There's the Talmudic view. This is from the Jewish Virtual Library. And this massive altar, I think there's a picture of it. I have it somewhere. But this is a recent article, March 29. So this is all kind of recent things. Para Aduma, right? Numbers 19:1-22. The red heifer in the Jewish temple is part of the manner in which the Kohanim and the Jewish people purified themselves so they would be ready, pure, to sacrifice the Korban Pesach. And there's some, let's see this. This is kind of the biblical prophecy news. So you'll see that that's kind of a, there's a Christian view of this, but I'm going to play some stuff. There's actually an interesting thing. I think it's the House of the Temple. You'll see it here, but there's a group that's like putting together all the stuff, not just for the red heifer, but for the third temple. And you can see it here.
Hi, this is Yitzhak Rubin of the Temple Institute. The red heifer, the ashes of the red heifer, are the key to biblical purity and a necessary prerequisite for the renewal of the divine service in the Holy Temple. For years, the Temple Institute has been researching and making efforts to raise a red heifer that is a perfect candidate for the production of the ashes of the red heifer, in order that when the day comes and the Holy Temple is rebuilt, we can immediately renew the divine service. In order to continue our efforts to raise a red heifer and to produce the ashes of the red heifer, we need your continued generous support. Click on the donate link below. Thank you.
So that's it. Here's the cows themselves. This was them a year ago. They're much bigger than this, but this is from the Temple Institute. So you'll see that there. But also here is a, this is from the Jewish perspective. I found this guy online. I found him to be very knowledgeable.
I'm just yesterday, play I had the honor and the privilege to be part of something that I only ever dreamed that I would have the opportunity to be a part of.
Heading out to something very exciting. You know, this week it's Shabbat Parshat Parah, where we read about the red heifer, the Parah Aduma. We do that because Pesach is coming up and we want to spiritually prepare, purify ourselves. And since we don't have the actual Parah Aduma, to purify ourselves, so we read about it in the Torah in preparation. But the truth is that there are people who are working on making an actual Parah Aduma, a red heifer. And today, at Ancient Shiloh, the place where the tabernacle was, they are having a special conference all about the red heifer, the Parah Aduma. And they're going to be putting on display the red heifers that they have brought from Texas that are almost ready to be used. And I'm going to show you all about it.
We Jewish people have been praying and waiting and dreaming for 2,000 years for the temple to be rebuilt in Jerusalem.
So I think that was actually the picture of the Temple Mount from the Mount of Olives, it looks like, across the burial ground where most, a lot of religious Jews want to be buried.
The temple to be rebuilt in Jerusalem. And in our lifetime and in the lifetimes of our parents and grandparents, we've seen so many things take place. They're moving Am Yisrael closer and closer to seeing this dream fulfilled. Of course, there's been mass return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel in the last 100 years plus. And the land of Israel has been rebuilt and the agriculture has been brought back. But the most important thing that we're all waiting for is for the temple to be rebuilt and for Mashiach to come and to complete the redemption of the people of Israel and of the whole world. And one of the necessary prerequisites for building the temple is something called the Parah Aduma, or in English, the red heifer. The Torah tells us that a Jewish person who's been in contact with a corpse, or in the same room with a corpse, or under the same roof with a corpse, they become ritually impure, what's called Tumat Met. Now, there are all kinds of ritual impurity in the Bible. Somebody who touches a dead rodent, a woman who menstruates, and so on and so forth. All of these impurities can be removed by immersing in a ritual bath called a mikvah. But the ritual impurity or tumah that comes from contact with a corpse is considered the highest level of ritual impurity, and it can only be removed through a very special ceremony that's delineated in the Torah called the red heifer ceremony. And what's done is they take a red cow. The red cow has to be completely and utterly enforced.
So here's more pictures of it. I'm not going to go through his full explication.
Who taught us about the halachot, the laws of the red heifer, gave us the background of how they identified these red heifers and what they've been doing to raise them and all the precautions and the care that they've taken to raise them. And basically, these red heifers were identified in Texas. And several years ago, they were brought to Israel. And in the last few months, they brought them to ancient Shiloh, where they've been caring for them and pampering them and keeping track of which ones are still valid for the use in the ceremony. So after the lectures and all the explanations, they took us out to the location and we got to see the red heifers for ourselves. And you can see here that this is a herd.
This is very recent, by the way. I think this guy streamed this within the last week. So this is the current red heifer, right? The unspotted. Cows.
They're a special red Angus cow that they brought from Texas. And when we think of red heifer, you might think of something that's like, you know, bright red, like a red crayon or something like that. But of course, there's no such color in cows in nature. And so when it means red, it means like a red earth kind of color. Actually, the word adom in Hebrew, or aduma, the feminine version is aduma, para aduma, the red heifer, is etymologically related to the word for earth, which is adama. Adama is earth, aduma is red. So clearly, when it says red heifer, it means it's a shade of earth color, a reddish earth color. And you can see that these cows indeed are this deep reddish red earth color. And so we got to see them, we got to photograph them, we got to take our pictures together with them. And this, to me, was a once-in-a-lifetime experience. It's something, like I said, that I never could have imagined that I would have the merit and the honor to participate in. And to me, this is just another sign that we're getting closer than ever to the final redemption, to the days of Mashiach. And recently, CBS News released a clip. I'll link it here in the description of the video, where they showed how Hamas launched the attack against Israel in part because they're concerned that the Jews plan to rebuild the temple.
But one confounding yet eye-opening motive has escaped the headlines. In a recent speech, a Hamas spokesman blamed the Jews for bringing red cows to the Holy Land. The cows he's talking about at a secure, undisclosed location are these.
And rebuilding the temple, of course, in their eyes is a threat to the Dome of the Rock. And Hamas actually pointed out that the Jews are preparing red heifers in order to build the temple.
So the Christians and the Muslims are keeping an eye on this, as well as certain elements of Jews. So that's kind of an interesting one. I'll put a link to this guy's show. He's very knowledgeable on other subjects, but this is just kind of what he covered. But here's kind of, this will be the kind of more Western American approach or view of this kind of red heifer.
What is the red heifer? This is wild. It's written for the temple to be rebuilt, that ushers in the end times. All the tools that they use within the temple need to be cleansed. In order to do that, they sacrifice a red heifer. There's only been 9 red heifers ever sacrificed. The last red heifer to have been sacrificed was 2,000 years ago. A cattle rancher in Texas got invited with these rabbis to go look for red heifer. They found 5. The process was insane. They could never have been yoked. No one could have leaned on them. That's why it's been 2,000 years. They determined, we finally found them. These 5 heifers are in Israel right now being like protected and guarded. They have 9 months to sacrifice this red heifer because they can't be like older than 3 years old. He's basically saying like, if this happens, you know we're now in the trajectory of this end times prophecy stuff. What's crazy too, with each sacrifice, they always mix the ashes of the previous red heifers. When they found the Dead Sea Scrolls, they also found a jar that had the previous 9 red heifers' ashes.
Weird.
Dating back to Moses. We have an update on the red heifer. They have built the altar on the Mount of Olives and hummus. One of the major reasons that they attacked Israel in October was because of the red heifers, because the Dome of the Rock sits on the Temple Mount right now. And by doing this sacrifice of the red heifers, it is an all-out threat of being like, we're going to get rid of the Dome of the Rock and rebuild the temple. Muslims were just like, no way.
It's a whole different narrative.
What are the like potential implications of this being enacted?
The Dome of the Rock is completely sacred to the Muslim faith.
Yep.
And if that's destroyed, you will not only have every Muslim nation, you'll have every Muslim in the world. Well, it'll be like the Battle of Armageddon, which talks about all the nations rising up against Israel. It's just, it's crazy that they literally have a sacrifice altar built. And they said it'll happen
recently built.
By the time this comes out, they could have already done it because they said it'll happen any day between now and Passover.
And this was published March 29th, right? 3 days ago.
It was in the end of April. So I say all that just...
So it's like sometime in April, supposedly, supposed to happen.
To be like, yo, just be ready for anything.
So that was that. That's kind of like the more American view. And then I've got this right here.
Where the heifers...
This is the altar. I think this is from CBS.
According to some believers, the ceremony needs to be performed right here on the Mount of Olives, looking directly into where the temple once stood. At a secure, undisclosed location are these red heifers, to be precise. Some Jews and Christians believe they're the key to rebuilding the historic Jewish temple in Jerusalem and to beckoning the Messiah. To understand, you have to go back nearly 2,000 years when the ancient Romans destroyed the last temple in the city. To rebuild it, these believers point to the Bible's Book of Numbers. It commands the Israelites to sacrifice a red heifer without defect or blemish and that has never been under a yoke. Only then can the temple rise again. Caring for them on an Israeli settlement in the West Bank is Yitzhak Mamo.
So we have here, after a long research, we find in Texas.
In Texas?
Texas, United States of America.
Texas Red Angus, flying them 7,000 miles to Israel.
This is not a publicity stunt.
Well, what do you mean?
Meaning, this is something you take very seriously.
Harry Potter is a good story. The Bible is not story. The Bible is a way of God to lead us.
All right, so these are believers. They believe in this stuff, so very important. This is just an interesting corollary about a temple similar to the second temple being built in Brazil.
Guys, it looks like the red heifers are ready. Are they going to build a third temple? What if I told you they already built a third temple? In São Paulo, Brazil. Check this thing out. Did you guys know this existed? Yeah, they built an exact replica of Solomon's temple in São Paulo, Brazil. Yeah, this is actually a huge mega church in Brazil. It seats 10,000 people. How wild is this? Could this be fulfilled?
Yeah, Courageous says, number says nothing about sacrificing a red heifer to rebuild the temple. Right, I think it's like a mix of the Tanakh and the Talmud that says this is what they have to do. Don't quote me. Maybe somebody can fill me in on that.
Fulfillment of biblical prophecy? Now, I'm sure you're saying, JT, this is in Brazil, not Jerusalem. The Bible doesn't mention a third temple in Brazil. But the Bible doesn't mention a third temple at all, so there's also that. I just thought this was crazy and I wanted to share. What do you guys think?
Right, so where's the whole prophecy for the third temple? like you want to, the Jews want to build a third temple. Where is the proof or the biblical basis for that taking place, right? I think that that's a good question. So then I'm going to play this. This is a discussion with, I think, a rabbi from with a Christian.
Without a red heifer, is that right?
Yes, almost precisely. Unless if all the Jews got together and said, we want to build.
We're looking for a rebuilt temple. But you guys cannot build a temple without a red heifer, is that right?
Yes, almost precisely. Unless if all the Jews got together and said, we want to build today the temple. So then we could also put aside commandments of basically purification. The red heifer allows us to purify the whole nation. Now, this hasn't been done for over 2,000 years.
Right. And they have now five red heifers that are perfect, that are in Israel, that flew, I think, over there in September, whatever it was, that are in Israel, and they're all still perfect?
Yeah, they're all amazing. We actually were able to bring them in on a special permit. We brought them in as pets. That's how we got them in. So that's also why there's five, because you're allowed to bring up to five pets on your plane. And they came on an American Airlines flight, just 250 passengers on top, five red heifers on the bottom.
Awesome. We're looking for a rebuilt temple. But you
so that's it. So that's kind of my videos there. And I do have some. Let's see if I think I have some slides here. There we go. So the red heifers have been given names. Tikva, Jula, Segula, Tekiya, and Nekama. So, like I said, it has to be done by the end of April. They have to be a certain age, or else they'll have to get a new set of red heifers. This is the ritual law that Hashem has commanded. Instruct B'nai Israel to bring you a red cow without blemish, which is in which there is no defect, which no yoke has been laid. So, and this is the pretty dramatic sacrificial ramp. It feels like something from the Old Testament. Like they're supposed to bring this thing up and then burn it, right? It's like a burnt offering. So you, I don't know. It'll be really something else to take a full bowl and burn it to ash and then keep the ashes up there. And I think it's supposed to be within the view of the Temple Mount as well, which it'll be interesting if they pull this off. This is from Dom Luker. Breaking news, a massive sacrificial altar has been built in Jerusalem to sacrifice red heifers to usher in the third temple of Solomon. The sacrifice will take place between March and April. It's rumored that the Al-Aqsa Mosque has to be destroyed to build this temple. Many Christians fear this is similar to the prophecy of the end days in the Bible I've been reporting last spring. I'll keep you all updated. So that's it. And there's a bunch of art, the red heifer art. Nick Griffin, a rabbi, inspects one of the red heifers due to be sacrificed and burnt in ashes. In Jerusalem, with the inside of the Dome of the Rock, the barbaric sacrifice with blood and fire is due to be carried out within the next few days. This is March 28th. We're the Animal Rights Brigade and are some Christian Zionists yet beginning to see they have been conned into a heretical alliance with those who Jesus himself described as blasphemers in the synagogue of Satan. I don't know if that's true. World War Now wrote, the Zionist occupation intends to slaughter a red cow on Eid al-Fitr, April 10th, corresponding to April 2nd in the Hebrew calendar. The cow to be slaughtered is one of five heifers that have been genetically modified to be red. One of them will be slaughtered on April 10th, which coincides with Eid al-Fitr, and it will be burned and its ashes mixed in the Silwan Spring so that the Jews will be purified with water mixed with the cow's ashes. According to their belief, every person on whom a drop of this water is placed becomes purified from what is known as the impurity of the dead. Everyone who purifies himself is allowed to enter Al-Aqsa Mosque whenever he wants, and he's allowed to remain inside Al-Aqsa Mosque whenever he wants, and is allowed to pray to his Talmudic prayers inside Al-Aqsa Mosque whenever he wants. Temple groups are holding a special conference to prepare for the ritual slaughter of the red cow tomorrow, Wednesday, March 27th. So, this is kind of Harold. I forgot what this was from, but I think it was something kind of laying it out in Hebrew. Discern report writes, the massive altar for the red heifer sacrifice has been constructed. Yes, it has. There's no question. Is this referencing a statue come to life, the third temple in Revelation 13, 15? If not a supernatural feature performed, this perhaps is advanced AI, maybe, I don't know. Bill writes, honestly, the whole bastardized red heifer ritual in Israel reads like an Indiana Jones B-plot that would end in utter calamity for stoking the wrath of God through sheer arrogance, blasphemy, and self-interest. Yeah, maybe. Maybe they're tinkering with stuff. Isaac's army, are you ready for what happens next? I don't know. Terror alarm. The red heifer is ready by Passover 2024, and the third temple will be next. Jewish Messiah will eventually reveal himself sometime next year. Okay. I mean, I don't know. When is Passover 2024? Passover 2024. Begins a nightfall. Begins before sundown, Monday, April 22, 2024. So we have 3 weeks to keep an eye out for this. But, you know, I don't know how true this will be. I don't know what the biblical basis, I guess there's all kinds of views. I don't know if all Jews believe this. It doesn't seem to be really solidified in the Old Testament, in my opinion. Not from, I mean, clearly it's obviously in the Old Testament about a red heifer, but there's no direct thing to have the red heifer sacrificed to create the third temple. I don't see anything obvious about that. But maybe there's something else involved. There's something I missed. But it's clear that they have the evidence. There's also, like, they have put together, the Jews in Jerusalem have put together all of the implements to have a third temple, right? So all of these things that are necessary to be in the third temple, a lot of them have been created. The braziers and candelabra and all that stuff. So it is very interesting what is going on. But yeah, I think the Temple Institute itself is like worthwhile just checking out because they're the ones who are kind of facilitating all of this. But yeah, does anybody have any questions? I got a lot of questions too. I mean, I'm certainly not a scholar on this subject, but there are, it's something to be watchful from. And their perspective of some of these really conservative Jews is not, if you're a Christian, they're not great. Like, they view Christians as idolaters and, you know, or Edomites and all this other stuff. So you gotta kind of be careful with some of these characters. Like, they're not, obedience to the Old Testament does not mean obedience to Christian doctrine in any way, shape, or form. So something you gotta be concerned about. And it's not just that. It's like liberal Jews get a rough time from conservative ones, or Orthodox too, because they're seen as worldly and they get spit on in Israel. And there's a lot of tension. Yeah. So Aaron says, I think the red heifer third temple connection comes from the Talmud. I wouldn't know. Honestly, I wouldn't know. But I wouldn't be surprised. Then Loma asks, hey, William and everyone, wouldn't having them engineered exclude them? Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't know. You know, Talmudic, like, rationalizations are pretty clever. So, who knows? I really don't know. Maybe to, yeah, Sheila, William, two researchers, Adam Green and John Bjerknes, would be brilliant to have on. Yeah, I've talked to Bjerknes, is pretty, Chris, yeah, I almost had him on, but I forgot what he said. He had some kind of justification for, oh yeah, he said that the Armenian genocide was carried out by Muslims who were really Jews or something like that. I was like, I don't think there's that much evidence for that. But what are the chances there will be war between Israel and Iran? Would the USA get involved? I think that's somebody actually I was listening to today on Judging Freedom with Andrew Napolitano, said that that was the goal. That's why they're bombing Iran, is trying to get them to attack Israel, and then the U.S. will come in and spank them. And this is, I mean, we can get into 10-7. That's a whole nother show, the 10-7 kind of incident. But it's clearly there's no proportional eye for an eye proportionality between what happened on 10-7 and this genocide that's happening in Gaza. I mean, it's embarrassing. I feel embarrassed for Netanyahu, but they're just going to talk it up. Like, it's basically, in my opinion, 10-7 is Israel's 9-11, same type of thing. Get the people all apoplectic and vengeful and go. It was, I think it was a war of choice. It is a war of choice too, in my opinion. But I mean, I can quote from the Times of Israel. Like, I will quote from the Times of Israel on delays of response on 10-7. I won't quote from the Jew haters or the anti, like the lifelong dedicated anti-Semites who are out there who spent 10, 20 years just reviling Jews. Like, I can, I mean, a lot of this, the ICJ, the International Commission on Justice, Genocide Commission, one of the people on that commission was the head of the Supreme Court of Israel. So he's Jewish. Like, it's kind of, he was saying that it's genocide. But it is interesting because they quoted, like, I did a show for people who are interested. I should put a link to it in this show. But I did a show with John Brisson titled, "Is Amalek in the Room with Us?" Right? Because of the quote that Netanyahu said that these are Amalekites. They're clearly not Amalekites. They're trying to liken them to Amalekites to give them justification for their genocide. But they're clearly, the Gazans are mostly Islam, but there's Christians in there as well. It's probably atheists. But, I mean, it's just it's a very easy way to sugarcoat the mass murder for the consumption of Christians or Christian Zionists or whatever. You know, it's embarrassing. I feel embarrassed for a lot of Christian Zionists too, in my opinion. But yeah, they're literally orchestrating the end times. That's the way it is. Like, think that it's very odd how some of these religions, they have to go into these wars to facilitate their end time, right? So they want this to happen to hopefully bring in the end times. And it's almost like a Frankist kind of old, like 16th century Jewish thing where you commit all the sins necessary so that you can bring in the end times, right? Like, they willingly do that, you know. But yeah, I'm not willing to just say all Jews are like, you know, the whole thing is horrible. Like, whatever. I'm not that guy. But, you know, some of the conservative Jews, if you can live, there's like hours of conservative Jews, their ideas for the world. Like, there's one guy saying all 6 billion people are idolaters. And under that, their rationalization, if you're an idolater, you get stoned, you know, you get Old Testament justice. So you got to be careful of that. But yeah, check out my show. I'm really pleased with the show I did with John Brisson. About titled is Amalek in the Room with Us, because in the ICJ they directly quoted kind of what we quoted, and it was Netanyahu saying that in Hebrew, right, to his fellow countrymen. But yeah, he's a ghoul, and they killed like 7 guys, you know, delivering food today, and covered it up. They kind of went public, but he like had a weird smirk on his face, like he seems pretty happy, he seems pretty satisfied with all the bloodshed. Which should scare you, because if you're an American, it's your tax dollars. They are shipping in 2,000-pound bombs from the U.S. to kill women and children in Gaza, murder them. And some of them are Christian. So if you're like a Christian, oh, yeah, this is really just, yeah, you better go through a pretty brutal reappraisal. Because I think I posted something. They like shot a mother and daughter in a church courtyard casually. And some of these, I mean, there's been testimony of some people on site of like taking care of the bodies of 7-year-old kids who got shot in the head. So not pretty, very ugly. Never thought I'd see it in my lifetime, but it's part of a larger thing. This is all like the planned genocide is exactly what's going on. If you can't figure it out, or you haven't figured it out, that's the point of the Ukraine. It's not to win. It's to kill off all those people, right? That's the point. So people say, oh man, they're bunglers. Oh, this is to make money. and just genocide the entire the Christian population. It's anti-Christian, right? Zelensky banned Christianity. They put Christians in jail. You know, put it together. So these kind of like Christian Zionists are some of the stupidest people on earth. There's no question in my mind. Stay away from me. Thank you for listening.